This is a CBC podcast. With Concerts On Demand, you can enjoy performances from acts like Tegan and Sarah, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, and the Peggy Lee Band whenever you want. Find your favorites at cbc.ca/radio2/COD.
In the ante room?
It's a very big ante room.
It's a huge ante room.
Echoey.
Can we call it an ante chamber?
Anti-atrium.
Anti-atrium.
Yeah, yeah. The ante chamber.
L'antichambre de Daybreak. How was your workout?
It was good. It was tough, actually.
You slightly lost me for a minute. Do they really have sandbags?
So they have two, like I explained, two duffel bags. And they're filled with sand.
And what are you supposed to do with those?
They're weights. You can run with them to hit the resistance.
How much do they weigh?
I don't know.
But, I mean, what did it feel like?
I didn't lift them. There was somebody using them.
Oh, okay. You were just looking at it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but I was using the Kinesis machine. That was fun.
This is... Your dad was here for years teaching.
Yeah, no, it's over, I mean, for, you know, over 30 years from the late 60s till when he retired maybe about 12 years ago in the management. Taught organizational behavior. He's written a bunch of books about it, which is like psychology meets executive management. So that's partly where I got this writer thing from, was from him. And, we used to always get these Concordia stories. But you know what? So he was there for years. I did the MA in media studies here. So a lot of Concordia connections.
So this is the Daybreak Daily podcast. And it's rare that the Daybreak Daily podcast is podcast in front of people.
Yeah.
Who are walking around.
Yeah. Usually all alone.
In a cave.
In a cave with no windows.
And can't we have this as our regular studio? No, Claudia, this is amazing.
The sun is pouring in. It's Wednesday. Yeah. It's the 16th of February. We did the show today from Concordia University. We're going to play some highlights for you on this podcast listener, including an interview with Dr. Frederick Lowy, who is the president of Concordia University. Just in the last 2 weeks, he took over again, having had a spell away. He will talk about some of the turbulent time, in his words, that the university is going through. We're also going to talk about the Concordia Volunteers Abroad program, which does link up Concordia with Uganda, and partly through an undergraduate, I guess it's a sort of tax. It's a fee that comes off your tuition, and it goes to projects in Uganda. We'll explain that coming up on the Daybreak Daily podcast. Why don't we play? Listen, to start things off, and Sonali, we're going to come to you and talk about what, hockey?
Yeah.
Because we lost last night, but it was...
But I have a good news hockey story after that, too.
Okay, so we'll do that in just a moment. Yeah. Let's start with Frederick Lowy, back in the chair as the president of Concordia University. He's taking over for Judith Woodsworth. And he took Judith Woodsworth, I should say, on the Friday before Christmas, announced she was, or the board of governors announced she was leaving for personal reasons. The problem was that, in fact, she later made it clear that she wasn't going for personal reasons. She was, in fact, forced to leave. Well, now, since then, 28 departments, 2 faculty councils, 25 chairs in the Faculty of Arts and Science, and a council representing 8 unions and faculty associations have taken a stand, either of non-confidence all the way to a request for the resignation of the chair of the Board of Governors, Peter Croyte. In fact, the Senate unanimously voted for just that. When he returned to his old job, Dr. Lowy referred to it all in a staff memo as a worrisome degree of turbulence. We'll hear from him in just a moment, but first, Heather Lucas was our guest. She is the president of the Concordia Student Union, and here's that conversation now. Good morning. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. Can I ask you, first of all, about the controversy surrounding governance here at Concordia University, the departure of Judith Woodsworth, other executives as well. How happy, how satisfied are you with the way things are right now in that dossier?
The students have been very frustrated with the way everything has unraveled. There's been a lot of concern for governance at the university, and I know a lot of students want to see reform on the board.
Do you feel that they're listening to you on the Board of Governors?
I know that we have a voice. whether or not they're listening to us, well, that's up to the board. But we do have a say, and we do speak up.
Has the Concordia Students Union joined its voice calling for Peter Coit to stand down?
The students have asked for that.
He said he's thought about it, but he's not going to do it.
Unfortunately.
Do you think it's worth pushing on and trying to persuade him to do that, or at some point do you just kind of give up and work with him?
I think you have to respect the will of the unions and what Senate passed. I think that needs to be adhered to. If he chooses to not step down, well, we don't have much of a choice but to work with him.
What do you think this all does to the university, to Concordia?
I think it's a challenge for Concordia, but I don't think it's anything that we can't overcome.
Do you, Dr. Lowy's right beside you. We're going to speak to him in just a moment. He's taken over that job that Judith Woodsworth left. Do you support his candidature?
I did vote for him as the president, so I do support him.
Tell us about the other, because we're going to talk about governance, but there are other issues that are on your mind. What other things are you concerned about chiefly here?
Well, our biggest concern as an undergraduate representative is tuition. Tuition is going up, and a lot of our students just simply cannot afford it once it goes up. So that is a big issue, as well as the university governance. Students have called for reform on the board because they feel that there's too many external board members who have overstayed their welcome, as well as have too much of a corporate influence on the university when we're an academic institution.
Okay, and in terms of tuition fees, is it the level they've reached already, or are you more concerned about where things are going in the future?
We're definitely more concerned about where things are going in the future. Once they go up, they will no longer be accessible to our students.
Okay, Heather, Lucas, thank you very much. Heather's going to stay with us. She'll be on again before the end of the program. She's the student union president. Dr. Frederick Lowy is the president of Concordia University. Dr. Lowy, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
You wrote in a staff memo when you started this job just a couple of weeks ago that misunderstanding and mistrust are evident. You talked about a period of turbulence. When the Board of Governors announced just before Christmas, on the Friday before everyone left for holidays, that Judith Woodsworth had left for personal reasons, and it turns out she'd been forced out, and we only learned that after the fact, how can there not be misunderstanding and mistrust?
Look, first of all, before I say anything further, I'd like to thank you and the CBC for giving us the opportunity to speak to the people who, after all, are one of our constituents, the people of Montreal. Ask your question. Look, it's inevitable that changes at the top will cause some concern, particularly just before the Christmas period, and at that point there was no opportunity for the board to get together. Of course, people are concerned about change, and I think the reason that I'm here at all talking with you is because it was felt that at this stage of the game, someone who's been here before, namely myself, might be able to help. And when I was asked to do this, I said, if I can help, I'll be here.
But it wasn't just the decision. It was the fact that they weren't truthful about the decision. They said it was for personal reasons, and it wasn't.
Well, you know, I'm not in a position to comment on what has happened in the past. For one thing, I was out of the country when all this took place, truly on a personal matter. I think the thing for us to do at Concordia is to move forward.
Okay, Dr. Lowy, the Senate, which is a representative institution here, one of the highest ones in the university, they voted unanimously. Every single member of the Senate voted for the chair of the Board of Governors, Peter Coit, to step down, and yet he hasn't. Isn't that a recipe for ongoing conflict, festering conflict?
I'm going to be meeting with the Senate this very week. We have a meeting on Friday. We're going to address this issue. We're going to address the larger issue of governance. I will be making some recommendations to Senate that I hope will be constructive. And if I can get agreement on that, I think we'll move forward.
We would love to speak to Peter Coit. We ask daily. He refuses to speak to us on Daybreak. You, I'm sure, speak to him on a regular basis. Does he understand why there's so much upset, why unanimously the Senate wants him to go?
I have not asked him what he understands, but it is my impression that he does indeed understand that. I should also point out that he's out of town right now, at some considerable distance, and he won't be back I think, until about a week from now.
It goes beyond the mood at the university. It's a serious issue. How much have donations to Concordia dropped off from, for instance, alumni?
You know, contrary to what's been said and written, the information that I have from our advancement department is there has not been a major fall in donations. So the information somehow erroneously was reported.
The Link reports an 80% drop off in donations. You certainly hear anecdotally that people are not stepping up to give money right now because they want to send a message through. Surely there is some drop off in donations.
What I have been told is that there has been a minor drop-off in donations, but nothing like 80%.
But why wouldn't an easy solution be, at least to get you partway out of this trouble, to have Peter Coit step aside? Why is one man so important when everyone seems to agree they'd like him gone? Why should he stay on?
Again, I am not in a position to speak for Peter Coit. As perhaps people know generally, it is the job of the board itself to make any changes within its own membership.
But they're stonewalling what seems to be a pretty united will from the university community.
The board has not actually met since all this happened. They will meet tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So yes. What's going to happen tomorrow?
I expect that a lot of comments will be made, including some that might echo what you've just said.
What about tuition fees? Are they going up in the next semester?
I have no idea if they're going up or not. That depends very much on the government of Quebec. We certainly have a position on that, and no doubt the government has a representation from many quarters.
Dr. Lowy, you have come in saying you want things to be much more transparent in the university. You've made some big strides already personally. Tell us what your vision is for a new kind of transparency for Concordia University.
I've never been afraid of transparency. I really enjoyed the 10 years that I spent at Concordia previously. That's why I really had no hesitancy when the university indicated that I might be able to help. Here I am because I want to be here. This is a most exciting place, as you can see this morning. But if you stayed here all day, you'd know it even more.
I hear you've had the details of your contract published. Is that right?
Well, tomorrow the board will, I hope, ratify the agreement that I have made with the university. It's virtually identical to what Dr. Woodsworth had, with the exception there's no severance agreement in this case. I do believe that people have a right to know. I was asked almost the first meeting that I attended, I was asked whether I was prepared to make my contract public, and I said yes, indeed. There are some things in every organization that involve individuals that have to be protected for confidentiality reasons, but basically our operations should be open to our community, and it's a very diverse and large community.
Okay, now comes the tough part. Are you ready? Okay. It's the Daybreak short answer questions.
I am quaking in my boots, but I'll carry on.
Okay, marks out of 10 for snow removal in Montreal this winter.
I would say 7.
Okay, Otto Dix or the Terracotta Warriors?
I'm at a loss, but I would say 50%.
Let's see. Okay, from the Grammys, Lady Antebellum or Lady Gaga?
I think the Antebellum era was the most fascinating era in history.
You've lived a long time in both Toronto and Montreal. In a phrase, first phrase that comes to mind, the key difference between the two cities.
Toronto is growing. Montreal's exciting.
Should Bev Oda resign?
It all depends on who actually put that one word in there.
Okay. Carl Jung or Sigmund Freud?
Both of them were pioneers of psychoanalysis. Sigmund Freud prevailed.
Brian Gionta or Thomas Plekanec?
They're both pretty good players. I'd say Plekanec.
You once sat on the board of the National Ballet of Canada. What was the last dance you saw?
Giselle, actually, not too long ago.
How was it?
It was great.
Is it okay for institutions to sneak a peek at their Auditor General's email account?
No.
Just checking. Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn?
I would say Twitter.
Early mornings or late nights?
Early mornings, absolutely.
Concordia faculty member you have learned the most from?
Gosh, there's a long list of them, including people who are teaching me things every day. The person I work most closely with right now, Jonathan Levinson, who's here, who's also a faculty member, because I see him every day and a good part of the day, he probably has taught me more.
You happy to be back?
Very, very happy to be back. It's been great.
Dr. Frederick Lowy, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to us and being so forthcoming. We appreciate it.
And again, thank you.
It's our pleasure. Dr. Frederick Lowy, who is the president of Concordia University once again. And if you have any thoughts on that, it's daybreak@montreal.cbc.ca. Let's talk about hockey with Sonali Karnik.
Okay, we'll start with last night's game, the bad news. So the Montreal Canadiens lost 3-2 in a 10-round shootout.
10 rounds? What's in a round? How many people shoot in a round?
One from each team.
Okay. Yeah. So 10 players each shot and nobody could score until... Yeah.
So there was no goals right till the end?
No, there were goals. Okay. There were goals, yeah. Okay. But there had to be a winning goal.
Yeah, sure.
And that was Johan Hecht of the Buffalo Sabres who ended up getting the winning goal.
Sorry, I'm very slow on the uptake there.
That's fine.
Sorry.
It's so you know what was really funny?
On the ice.
Yeah, okay. You wear skates?
Yeah, skates. It's not...
So I was tweeting during the game. I don't know if you saw my tweets.
You know what? I actually, you know, switched off the game to watch Benjamin Button on DVD. So full confession.
Full Anywho.
Disclosure.
Brendan.
I know.
Why? What do I always say, Brendan?
How much you love me?
No. I don't ever say that, actually. But I always say, never leave until the end
no,
of
I know.
The game.
No. I thought it was in the bag, 2-1.
No, they
apparently
had
not.
A bag of something, but it wasn't right. Very good in the second half of the game. So they get the 2-0 lead. Second half of the game, Habs just sort of, you know, slack off a little bit. Buffalo ends up tying it up 2-0, and Drew Stafford scores. Of course Drew Stafford scores. He's been on a scoring streak. Did nobody in the Montreal Canadiens understand this?
Right.
Anyways, so he scores, and of course the Gapontagi native Jason Pominville ends up scoring the tying goal. Nothing in overtime. 10-round shootout. The Habs blow a chance to get the division lead and third place in the Eastern Conference with that loss, because Toronto beat Boston last night, and Boston, of course, was leading the Northeast Division. So they play Edmonton on Thursday, and we'll see what happens in that game. Maybe they can, you know, get some respect back. But Mike, yesterday, before the game, I met up with an institution of hockey in this city, and that's Les Lawton, who's the head coach of the Concordia women's hockey team. This is his 29th year.
29 years. That is just shy of Hosni Mubarak.
That's become your reference point for everything.
Okay. It's 4 years and more than Yoweri Museveni in Uganda.
Okay, good, yeah.
So
it's so relevant.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. So
you're not even going there, right?
No,
no rioting
I know,
in the streets.
Carry on. You know what?
I know better.
9 days left.
Exactly. And then I'll never have to deal with this for at least 6 months.
Never say never,
for
exactly.
For at least 6 months, exactly. And then who knows? Les Lawton added another milestone in his career. I mean, he's just incredible. You can't fill, like, there's no room big enough to fill all of his accolades and everything he's done in his career. He coached the Canadian University women's team to a gold medal at the World University Games in Turkey earlier this month. And, of course, there are players from all across Canada on that team, but he didn't really have a lot of time to get to know them.
I guess the biggest challenge we had is we didn't get together until we met at the airport in Frankfurt. So it took me a good 3 or 4 days to get everybody's names and faces together. But we came together over the 2 weeks and we got better every day, which is what we wanted to do. So it was a real, real positive experience for us.
So the first day kind of went, hey, you there from the Calgary team there with you. Can you go play left wing? That was pretty much what it was like for the first couple of days for him. But Canada ended up beating Finland in the gold medal game 4-1. Now, Lawton, of course, has been with women's hockey for so long. He's seen so many changes to the game, so much development in the game. But he says one of the biggest challenges now is getting talented women to play in Canada for Canadian universities. He says, you know, they are competing with scholarships from big U.S. schools. There are parents who want their kids to play Division I hockey in the U.S. because of, you know, the big scholarship packages that are offered. But, you know, Lawton says the schools here just can't follow that lead completely.
Doesn't cost $40,000 a year to go to school in Montreal or any place in Canada. So that, you know, the most we can offer a student athlete is tuition, and that is minimal when you can look at it, what the U.S. schools are charging. So although we don't get a lot of credit for what we do, I think that the bursary system that we have in place and the cost of going to university in Canada far outweighs that full-ride scholarship to a school that you might struggle from an academic point of view.
Hard to compete.
It is hard. It is difficult to compete. I mean, I've interviewed hockey players, women hockey players, who've gone to study in the U.S. and haven't gotten, you know, the Harvard. They haven't gotten, you know, onto Princeton or other, you know, Ivy League schools or schools that can provide a quality education, and they end up coming back. You know, I remember interviewing one player who ended up coming to McGill because she went to a school in the U.S. She said she wasn't learning anything. Her degree was useless. They were doing things in her first and second year of university that she learned in high school in CEGEP. Mm. And it wasn't worth it for her to stay there to play probably the same amount of hockey, a little bit less actually than she would have played here. So she came back and she even gave up a year of eligibility just so she could play and get a quality education. I mean, these kinds of things happen. And, you know, the romance of going and playing in Division I hockey in the U.S. for a $40,000 a year scholarship doesn't always pan out. And I think that's what Les Lawton is concerned with. And he wants students to play and to get a good education as well.
Sona, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We are in the atrium of the Engineering and Visual Arts Complex at Concordia University now. They built this building and decided to put the engineering students in with the visual arts students. Now, my university, ages ago, 20 years ago, those two were not always the most obvious pairing.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your school?
Well,
did you go to Western?
Laval and Western, University of Western Ontario.
Well, Western Laval Engineering.
Yeah, they're a bit mad, yes.
Well, you know, I was going to say at McGill, where I did my undergraduate degree, of course, you know, I was part of the McGill Daily set, so we were all Trotskyites, you know.
Never would have guessed.
No, I know, eh? I mean, you thought, this is, you know, they were really like, I mean, I was kind of left liberal. These guys were, whoa, they were way out there, man. But, you know, then you had the engineers, of course, had their own paper, the plumber's pot. And, it, you know, they used to, like, they just had these, like, really, really gross, like, whereas always these huge controversies about these cartoons they were running and they were sexist and whatever, you know. So there was a real clash between the artistic types and the engineers. So this was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when I was an undergraduate.
Yes, and here they are cheek by jowl.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Fabulous building. Now, earlier on the program, we were joined by two students who have reached across the engineering visual arts divide. One of them studying design and the other one studying engineering. They're both working together on a project to design a building for Concordia University in Uganda. We'll hear about that in a moment, but first, Jamie Robinson is the executive director of the Concordia Volunteer Abroad Program, and we spoke to her earlier on the program. Jamie, good morning, and thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for having us. So Concordia students, all of them, I understand, pay into this project in Uganda. What are you doing there exactly? Can you explain the project?
Well, basically the program is a fee levy supported through Concordia undergraduate students. So for every course that a student takes, a portion comes to our program. And with that, we support community-led development through partnership in northern Uganda.
Okay.
So basically we have 5 partners. They're all doing great work, and we try and support them wherever we can. And then volunteers travel to Uganda to work on the projects during the summer months.
For your average person listening out there, when you say community-led projects, what sorts of things concretely are you doing on the ground in Uganda?
Okay, so basically, for example, one of our partners is an agricultural resource center. They do training for their community to help people returning from the conflict. There was a war in northern Uganda for 20 years. So
A brutal war.
Yes, it was definitely a brutal conflict. And now that the conflict has been over for about 4 years, people are trying to return to their lives in their more rural communities. And for that, they do need agricultural training that they may have missed during these 20 years. So through our partner, we like to support their revolving loans specifically. So they are providing people with the money that they need to get started again to rebuild their farms, and we are supporting them in reaching out to a larger portion of their community.
The building that we're about to talk to with the two students who are with us, what exactly is that going to be used for?
Well, basically, we were renting a facility in northern Uganda, and we wanted to make a larger commitment to the community, but also to make an investment so that in the long term we can spend more on our community outreach budget. So So the facility will house our students during their times in northern Uganda, but it will also allow the university to have a space in northern Uganda for promoting international research as well. So we're trying to build a relationship with Gulu University. Concordia has a memorandum of understanding with them. And we want to give opportunities for researchers, students, and faculty to travel to and work with the faculty, researchers, and students of Gulu University. So the facility will serve that function as well.
Okay, before we talk with the students about the building, I want to ask you about being on the ground in Uganda, because that situation has deteriorated fairly rapidly in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. There are elections, of course, on Friday. President Yoweri Museveni has been in power for 25 years. Mm-hmm. But the human rights situation in Uganda has changed. It's not just freedoms of the press and assembly that are affected. There are, of course, allegations of state torture. But lately, the outlawing of homosexuality with a new law, the worst consequence of which is execution. Mm-hmm. Local newspaper published a list of Ugandans they said were gay next to the headline, "Hang them." How safe is it for, I mean, Concordia is a diverse place. How safe is it for a student in Concordia to go out there, and maybe even specifically a gay student?
Well, I want to be clear that the law was not passed in Uganda. It was tabled 2 years ago now, and it obviously was reacted to largely by the international community, and it was not passed.
But there was a leading gay rights activist who
yes,
was executed
David
in his
Cato,
home after these front
yeah.
page targeting mm-hmm. of a list of supposedly yeah. gay people in Uganda.
Yes, obviously David Cato's death was very sad for anyone interested in human rights. For the purposes of our program, obviously we're aware that Concordia is a very diverse place, and we support queer students and invite them to participate in the program. We do advise students that it is their decision whether they would like to disclose their sexual orientation while they're in Uganda. We advise them that it might not be the best idea in terms of the work that they can do and their community relations. However, we do support them if they choose to do that. We feel that it is generally safe for students traveling there, and we also have, of course, appropriate measures in place if a student would need to exit the situation.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much. Jamie Robinson is Executive Director of the Concordia Volunteer Abroad Program. We're going to talk to Andrew Dolan, PhD engineering student. Liam O'Brien as well is with us. Liam, I'll start with you. You're the engineering student?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. Tell us about this building.
Well, for once, we got to work on a real project, and amazingly, it's already being built, which is very unusual for us because in Canada, it can take several years. So we helped design the entire facility, including the daylighting and natural ventilation, and we wanted it to be off the grid, self-sustainable, and so it actually has solar panels.
How rare is it for you to really get your hands into a project like this, a significant project, a brand new building?
It's quite rare. It was quite a good opportunity, and the very fact that it's moving along so quickly is very exciting for us.
And Andrew, you're in design
yep.
here at Concordia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I'm well, thanks. Tell us about what is particular, what sets this building apart in Uganda.
Well, from women, the mandate which we received from Jamie was that a lot of the NGOs that are going into Uganda are building their own, constructing their own facilities based on a North American standard. And when we were approached to actually build this building, we wanted to make something that was community relevant, and that so that the individuals involved in construction have a stake within it. So within the Ugandan University, within these outreach programs, it's not going to seem like we just plunked the building down in Uganda, which is a North American one. It actually fits within the community itself.
And what's, for you, mm-hmm. as a designer, what have you been allowed or enabled to do here that you wouldn't be able to do, for instance, here in Montreal?
Well, in general, I mean, the opportunity, as Liam just said, to build a building is something that I never would have thought I would gotten to get into. It's just a monumental experience to be in.
Liam, you said it was off the grid, a green building. Tell us about that.
Well, up here, you know, usually the grid is reliable, but down there, I believe, Jamie can correct me, but I believe that the grid is quite unreliable.
Oh, well, I can imagine it probably is.
It's important to be able to have lighting and computers and cooking facilities at all times when the grid could be going down, you know, for an hour a day or something like that.
The lessons you learn designing a building that can go off the grid there, are those things that we could incorporate into projects here in Montreal?
Absolutely, and we do. It's just that it's a little bit more of a security issue down there, I would say, because it's such a more frequent event.
And so is this in some ways a building of the future, even for Quebec, even for the Western world?
Yes, absolutely.
When's the building finished, Andrew?
May, I think. Yeah.
Thank you both, all three of you, very much for coming in, talking to us about it. Good luck with the project. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Jamie Robinson, Andrew Dolan, and Liam O'Brien. Liam and Andrew are engineering and design students. And that is the Daybreak Daily podcast for Wednesday, the 16th of February. Now, tomorrow, Gian Gameshi on the show.
I'm very excited.
And Eric Gay.
Yep. We have an exclusive interview with Eric Gay today, me and Michelle Godbout from CBC Television. And Radio-Canada as well. We have a little exclusive. He's coming to La Maison Radio-Canada.
Got a big standing ovation at the Bell
Centre Tuesday night. That was so sweet. I don't think he expected the reaction to be like that, but he was pointed out in the crowd. They announced that he was, of course, the world downhill champion. First he sort of sat and waved, and then he stood up and waved because people gave him a standing O. And they were so nice and warm. You know, that's what I love about the Bell Center.
Yeah.
Okay, can I tell you I'm going to miss that?
I bet you're going to miss it. Did you hear Sonali's news?
I did. Congratulations. But,
thank you.
Now she has to watch the Leafs all the time.
I will be covering all Canadian teams.
No, but you're going to have to see the Leafs more than you see them now.
Yes.
That's going to be a tough job.
Is it? Well, come playoff time, I may not be talking about them as much, Brendan.
Right. You might have a lot of free time, actually, come to think of it.
Well, Brian Burke has a fire sale. Who knows what happens? It's trade deadline time, so you know.
Yeah, that's true. So, Daybreak tomorrow from 5:30 on the live stream, and of course on 88.5 and 104.7 FM, and the podcast, same time, same place tomorrow. Podcast listeners, we'll talk to you again real soon. I'm Mike.
I'm Sona.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Monique.
How's the parking ticket?
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to move past the parking ticket. I got towed for being parked in a snow clearing.
Were you on St. Catherine Street?
Yeah. What? I'm sitting here, and I'm looking out the window at the traffic light. I see a tow truck coming up, and I see the front of the car, and I thought, oh, that looks kind of like my... That's my car. We were in news, so I was able to run outside waving my arms and said, that's my car. So he stopped and put the car down, but he still gave me a ticket.
They did not tow away the car.
No, they parked it on St. Catherine for me.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And
nicely.
Gave her a ticket.
Yes.
I have to go get my car.
Alrighty then.
I really like this new setup, this whole me looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, you're on a bit of a pedestal there.
Yeah, but I get to see over your shoulder. Yeah. I like it.
Is it really that exciting?
Not so much.
Oh, well, come on. Like, relatively speaking, when we're talking about seating plans, yes,
it's exciting. Compared to white walls?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Exactly.
See you tomorrow, podcast folks. Bye.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.